Okay. You know, Walter was speaking about election, and I've said for a long time, you've heard it. I said it at another church one time and had some issue taken with it, that election is not salvation, but it's a guarantee of it.
Yes, sir.
And that's what's missed. The only thing, shall I say this? People that would be scandalized at our doctrine of election, not having been taught, would certainly come under the cover of God's grace and God's blessing. So election is not salvation. They're just elect and don't know it. They'd be a lot better off if they knew it.
Sure.
Here's an old hymn from the pen of a man called Joseph Irons, who has been dead for many, many years. Now, it's a strange meter, so I may have trouble reading it just right, but I've read this over and over again, but never out loud before. Here's one verse. We have listened to the preacher. Truth by him has now been shown, but we want a greater teacher. Application is the work of God alone. And I want to now go to those first six words of Romans 9:23. And I was there last Sunday, and want to talk to you just a little while. And when I'm through, I'll quit. Now, you notice he says in verse 22 of Romans 9, what if God? What if this be the case?
Yeah.
And of course, in Paul's words, it is the case. But he's questioning people that have no knowledge of the truth, or at least ignore the truth that they have knowledge concerning. One of the two. He said, what if God, now think of this horrible prospect, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now, if you want something amusing, go around to some commentators and read what they have to say about that verse. That they change it to fit for. Now, that isn't what it says at all.
No.
He said that the vessels of wrath fit for destruction. You see, these people who are in love with free will more than they are with Christ,
yeah,
will not endure anything that relates to the sovereignty of God.
Right.
They'll change it,
right,
to meet their own thinking. But he's asking a question. And he, of course, he has reference in this particular place to Pharaoh. This is true. Paul is saying this is true even in our day today. That's what Paul is saying, that God is going to punish this kind of rebellion against his sovereign power. But then, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory. Now, I know we've been there, but I hope we won't be repetitive. Now, it's impossible, and I'll say this dogmatically, it's impossible for any preacher to communicate, to teach, or to impress upon the mind of those that hear him a single spiritual thought or lesson. He can't do it.
Right.
If salvation is of the Lord, he can't do it.
Exactly.
Right. This is readily seen in this familiar verse over in Ephesians 1. Paul is praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, now look, may give, that God may give unto you, you Ephesian heathen, pagans, born again pagans, but nevertheless, the recently pagans, that God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in what? In the knowledge of Him. Now, there's no way that Walter or I or any other preacher can impart that kind of wisdom to anyone. It is something that is witnessed in the heart by the Holy Spirit, which is given to that person in regeneration. And the result of that is not maybe, not possible, but is a guarantee of conversion. And what is conversion? It's a turning around from an old way to a new one.
Amen.
It's sort of like, you know, I try to think of, we don't escape the old way altogether that quickly, do we? It's a good deal like tin cans tied to a newlywed's automobile when they take off. There's a lot of rattling goes on. That diminishes as the cans fall off, but it may take a while depending on what they're tied with. In the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. Now there's that good scriptural word called hope that upsets people so much because they think to hope something is to wish for it, which isn't true. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Oh, I've got to take my time on this because this says so much that I'd not seen before. He's saying that not just those who are educated, they're not the ones who necessarily have been given the spirit of understanding and of the knowledge of Him. It doesn't take an education to get that. Sometimes you're better off without it. Now, that's just honest about it. And this passage in Ephesians brings that to our mind, but also over in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, you see some remarkable words there that Paul spoke about wisdom. You know, some people think they are so smart that this gospel that we preach is too simple for them. And Paul did say to these people, I was determined to know nothing among you but Christ. Is it His full name there? Is it just Christ? I've forgotten. Christ and Him crucified. That was the message that I preached. Not all of this other stuff. Look what he says in the 18th verse, is it? Quite a long passage. I want chapter 1. Now somebody listening to the tape wonders when I'm going to start again because it sounds like it takes a long time. Look at verse 18. And the preaching of the cross is foolishness unto them, to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God.
Amen.
But to them that perish it's foolishness, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?
Sorry.
Now, Unibel and I started the other night, I don't know, we were sitting in the living room, and I was working the button on my television. And we came by the History Channel, and they were going to have something about Israel on the History Channel. Don't remember the title of it. Well, I said, that might be worth listening to. We'll just leave it there. Was I ever wrong? They had a bunch of men on there, rabbis and preachers, that endeavored to dispute and to vilify the entire scripture, all of it, from beginning to end. Did you know that the Jews are not Jews? Did you know that? They're Canaanites. And the Jews invaded the land and took the religion of the Canaanites.
Okay.
And on and on. And two great religions of the world, Mohammedanism and Christianity. Mohammedanism has their prophet in Mohammed, and the Christians have theirs in the preacher called Jesus. And I said, that's enough of that for me. It doesn't take long to fill me up on that kind of a fodder. So we left them. I sometimes think I ought to stay and just see you write down how much nonsense they talk about, but what good does it do to repeat it? It just disseminates that garbage. But what I'm saying is these men are highly educated, come from the top Jewish and Gentile universities. And they will sit there and say that these accounts in this book are Jewish mythology, and the apostles used this kind of word of mouth tale telling and finally wrote it down just in order to enhance their position as preachers of Christianity. Imagine, where is the wise?
Right.
Under condemnation.
Right.
Exactly.
And unless this country wakes up to where this kind of political and religious liberalism is leading, we're going to go down the tubes in less time than you think it's going to take. Every great country has fallen. Every one.
Yes, sir.
And in comparison to those countries that have fallen, this country is a babe in arms.
Right.
We haven't been here long enough yet. Look. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. God made it impossible for them to find him out.
Right.
Through worldly wisdom. It has to be a revelation.
Amen.
It has to come from the Spirit of God. There is no possible way. This is going to sound awful. There is no possible way that you become a child of God by studying the Bible.
Right.
Alone.
Right.
No possible way. These Gideons spread these Bibles all over the country. Most of them are in the bed table drawer. And if you open them up, they crack when you turn the pages because they've never been opened. But there's no salvation in just reading the book.
Right.
That's it.
And there's no understanding. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. And how often have I said it in the last 59, 60 years? Not the preaching of foolishness, but the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Then he goes on to say that it's not religion, and I must get along, for the Jews require a sign. It's not religion.
Right.
Religion always requires a sign,
yeah.
Requires works. Mm-hmm. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. Education,
yep.
Philosophy. But we preach Christ crucified.
Amen.
Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Let me tell you something, there ain't much left.
Right.
That's right. That's it.
Yeah.
But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ. The power of God and Christ, the wisdom of God. And I'm saying that all we need is a knowledge of God through the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, you say, you're touting ignorance now. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm saying that this is in the light of man's relationship to God. And there in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 1, you have the effectual call. Unto them which are called.
Yes.
Called. But now notice God's choice in verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Sir.
And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not. yes, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his sight.
Amen.
None whatsoever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. All right, yeah. That being true, that he might make known, that being true, how does God make known? How does he do it? How do these things become a part of our knowledge and even more a part of our lives? God gives them to his people as it pleases him. He gives you understanding and knowledge as it pleases him. Look what James wrote in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Now, there's very little that's good and perfect around us today. Cometh down from the Father, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. God, through the blessed Holy Spirit, gives all of these gifts to a God-given understanding by the God-given Spirit, capital S. All knowledge comes through that knowledge that is being revealed by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Every bit of it. It's absolutely impossible for the carnal mind, the mind of the flesh, the mind with which we were born, to receive, hold, or understand the mind and the will of God. It can't be done. They can't do it. The enmity, and if you look in Webster, he'll tell you that enmity is hatred. The enmity, the hatred of that carnal mind is soon seen in that his will reveals, it shows, it manifests the absolute sovereignty of God in the selection and in the calling of his people out from the masses that are in the world. Now, God reveals that. But he doesn't reveal it to the masses of the degenerate citizens of this world unless they're called by the Spirit of God into a relationship with the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. But he will save.
Yes, sir.
He will save in and through Christ with an everlasting salvation. Look at a passage that's found in 2 Corinthians 2. And verse 7. Here's what Paul wrote. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Now, you know something? It's impossible to know God apart from this hidden wisdom.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. Can't be done. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Sir.
Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, What's the modern explanation of this passage of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians rather, 7 and 8? What does it say? I'm sorry, but in 9 and 10. What's the normal explanation? Well, we just can't understand anything about heaven at all. Now, I'll tell you frankly that I don't know much about heaven. But I understand a few things about it.
Yes.
Now, but the eye just hasn't seen. The ear hasn't heard. Well, your eye has seen and your eyes have heard, or your eyes have seen and your ears have heard. It's entered into your heart some of the things that God hath prepared for them that love him.
Yes, sir.
And they've appeared because God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, that he might make known. There we go back to that verse in 23rd verse of the 9th chapter of Romans. That he might make known. And apart from that knowledge and apart from that revelation, we don't have anything but a hodgepodge.
That's it.
If this book is flawed in any way, our hope is in vain. Now, I don't care what these other denominations say. Well, you must, Earl. You talk about them all the time. Well, yeah, I mention them. So did the apostles mention these heretics. I just heard, and I don't know that this is true, but this is almost too horrible to mention, that this young woman that was recently disappeared, and her husband's in jail now for her murder. But you know what? Did you hear what the police are now investigating? That she was killed by a cult, and that her baby was cut from her, and they were in a manner of religious ceremony, and finally ended up in the ocean, in the sea. Let me tell you something. That is not normal meanness.
No, of course not.
If that is such a thing, well, even if her husband did this thing,
yeah,
that's not normal orneriness. That's demon possession.
Amen, that's right.
And don't you forget that it exists in this world, in this community, today.
Oh, yeah.
We fight not battles with the flesh.
Right.
We fight against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness. And you know something? Any other kind of wickedness you can see. Spiritual wickedness sneaks up on you.
Yeah, that's it.
But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. Now, understand this, that preaching is not useless, but to the world it's foolishness.
Right, that's it.
Right.
People say, well, you mean you don't have Sunday school? No, I don't have Sunday school. We don't have Sunday school. Megan and Kristen have never been in a Sunday school, have they? Oh, they can brag about that. I agree with an old Primitive Baptist preacher one time that told me this, and I know I repeat, but these younger ones ought to know these things. This old gentleman said, "Preacher, you still have a Sunday school where you are, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah, we do." Well, he said, "You know what they are? You know what a Sunday school is?" And I said, "Well, evidently you've got the answer, so you tell me." He said, "It's a whole bunch of people that don't know anything about the Bible, that don't care anything about the Bible, being taught by a few people that don't know anything about it." He had it right.
Yeah, he had it right.
He had it right. There's no question about it. Now, I still get the children ought to have something. The children need just exactly what the adults need.
Right, that's right.
They need a knowledge of God in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And don't tell me that they're too young to know about it and need to color Bible pictures.
Right.
Not in the least.
Yeah.
The natural eye has not seen. The natural ear has not heard. It has not entered into the heart of the natural man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. How could it? God has no communication with him. I think we often forget that. These things must be entered into by faith. Christ has repeated, God has promised and Christ has repeated those promises. You remember what Numbers 23:19 says? God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it?
Yes, sir.
Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Now Jesus said, I give unto them. Who?
Yes.
The ones that receive me. Mm-hmm. I give unto them eternal life.
Yes, sir.
And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father that giveth me them is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now Christ said that.
Yes, sir.
That's security.
Yes, sir.
That eternal life must be lived, doesn't it? Doesn't that follow?
Sure.
If you're not going to die, you're going to live somewhere.
Yeah.
Because my body's going into the ground or into the furnace. I don't know which yet. But in other words, it'll go back to ashes.
Right. Yep.
And dust. And that'll be the end of this wretched chest of horror. But that life, if it's eternal life, it goes beyond the grave and must be lived somewhere.
Sure.
Well, Christ said, if we ask the question, where will it be lived? Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. It's a place. A definite place. In that place that he has gone to prepare for us, that's where we shall live. Now, well, so Earl, you say you don't know much about it. Well, I know it's a place. And I know I know that he promised to prepare it. I know that.
Yeah.
The people of God have an inheritance. Ephesians 1:18 is familiar to you. That ye may know what is the hope of... my glasses are really giving me trouble. The people of God... That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, Christ has an inheritance in you.
Right. Yes, sir.
Right.
Isn't that an amazing thing?
Yes, it is.
Of his inheritance, not yours.
Right.
We have an inheritance.
Sure. Yes, sir.
Back in I think it's verse 7 of that same chapter. We have an inheritance that God has given us. But we also are a gift of God to his Son, Jesus Christ.
Right.
For thine, he said, thou hast given them me. You've made a gift of them to me, and all that the Father hath given me shall come to me. They stand assured of that. So, there are a great many other passages, and I don't have time. Here's the final one. This goes back to the 17th chapter of John. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Father, I will. And that's the first time he's ever used an expression like that. Mm-hmm. Father, I will. Mm-hmm. It's always, Father, thy will. Here it's, I will. I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory.
Yes.
Well, what is his glory? The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Amen, that's right.
in God's... Can you get a hold of that? That the glory of Christ is not only... You know that wretched picture that Joe took of that bulletin board? That's awful. But what I'm saying to you is that that's the way people think of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
I think of him and you think of him as risen, glorified, and seated at the right hand of the Father,
right,
and receiving,
yes,
his people on a daily basis.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, we say, well, did you know that so-and-so is dead? Not if he's in Christ.
Right.
That's right.
Not if he's in Christ. All of these things, that they may behold my glory. And it just struck me this week. David was asking me about reading verses and not catching on to it. It just struck me this week that he has said that the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and they behold that, the whole picture. And it will redound to the glory of God the Father,
yeah,
through Jesus Christ. I've got to hurry. All of these things, all of them, every one of them, and more, have been revealed to the children of God. We know these things are true. So we do what? We go, as Paul wrote to the Hebrew believers, we go, therefore, without the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. This is your temporary assignment.
Right. Right.
That's all. But if we know ourselves, and we ought to, we've lived with ourselves, some of us longer than others, but if we know ourselves, we know that all things come to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. If we, through faith, have laid hold of Christ, the promises of God are yea and amen in him. That's what the book says. We read that God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. It's not that he will reveal them to us by and by, but he has revealed them to an enlightened understanding by his Spirit. You know something else? I can't teach a man the truth, but you know something else? I can teach a man a lie. And he'll swallow it hook, line, and sinker.
Yes, sir.
And there are thousands of them around us.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I can't teach him the truth.
Right.
He'll reject it unless God has regenerated his soul.
Yeah.
He'll reject it every time. Be thankful for the truth that has been revealed.
Yeah.
Be thankful for that. You know, you might not know it all. You might not even know very much.
Right.
But you know who Christ is.
Yeah.
And what he did. Now what? Press toward the mark of the high calling of God.
Yes.
In Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do that. Our Father, we're grateful this morning for our gathering together here and for your blessing.